Father God, we love you. And again, we just thank you for this privilege, first of all, to stand before you. And Lord, also before your people. We ask this morning, as we go into the word, Holy Spirit, I ask that you open unto us the scriptures. Cause the word of God to give us understanding and give us clarity regarding this wonderful miracle of the nation of Israel. Lord, help us, dear God, to discern Israel's place in the latter days. Help us, dear God, to understand our place with Israel. And Lord, above all, help us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Israel in Bible prophecy. It's a wonderful, wonderful study. I really love the nation of Israel. I want to start off with a verse here in the book of Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Very familiar passage here. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I say then, have God cast away his people? He said, God forbid. For I am an Israeli of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God have not cast away his people, which he foreknew. You know, we're living in a time and a day, saints, where there are many, many people today who believe that Israel has no significance in the last days. We're going to see this morning that Israel is very prominent today. Israel is very prominent in the last days. Israel is very prominent in the whole program and scheme of God. We're going to see again that Israel has, God has brought this little nation back into world history because God is honoring his word. And Israel has a major, major place. I want to quote one of my colleagues, Dr. Chuck Missler, in his book, Prophecy 2020. Listen to what he says. He says, we don't take prophecy seriously because it's in the Bible. We take the Bible serious because of the track record of its prophecies. The Bible lays out a detailed scenario of the final climax of mankind on planet Earth. It also provides testable reference points to determine just where we are in that scenario. I like what he said. It provides testable reference points so we will know where we are in that scenario. You know, God knows what he's doing. God has mapped out. He's given us indicators. He's given things that we can see in the scriptures as markers in time to let us know where we are. I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. I believe that since God has brought this little nation back into world history, it's a major event for the world. And we, the church, need to communicate this message to a dying world. Now, I want to show you my chart here, and I want to bring up, just want to mention something just quickly here. Here is a dispensational chart, and we're currently in what's known as the church age, or the dispensation of the church. And in the church, we know that Christ is using the body of Christ, and we know the next major prophetic event on God's horizon is that event of the rapture. As the church is taken up and the church is raptured, then the next major event will be that event of the Great Tribulation. We're going to see today that the nation of Israel is significant in the last days because Israel will be a part of this event known as the Great Tribulation. I believe that God is bringing Israel back for a specific task during the time of the Great Tribulation. And we're going to see that as we go a little further. I believe that Israel is God's major prophetic time clock. You know, saints, there were many, many prophecies in the Bible that were literally waiting on Israel's latter-day fulfillment. Many prophecies were literally waiting on the manifestation of that little nation. When Israel came back into world history, prophecies began to click in place. I've said many times from this pulpit and pulpits around the country that I believe that God is in heaven moving major chess pieces on his prophetic chessboard. He's moving things into place for the end times. And the nation of Israel is significant, major significance for the last days. Now, I'm a teacher of the word, and I like to deal with topics and subjects. So our topics of discussion this morning will be the scattering of Israel in Bible prophecy. We're going to see the prophecy of God scattering Israel. Then we'll see the birth of the nation of Israel in the last days. We'll see the regathering of the Jews to Israel. I'm going to give you scriptures on it. So I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures this morning. We're going to see it from the word. We'll see the restoration of the land of Israel in the last days. We'll see Israel's preparation. Listen at this. Preparation for the Great Tribulation. We will see Israel's salvation in Bible prophecy. And then last, we'll look at Israel as she meets her Messiah as Lord and King. You know, God is up to something. God has brought this little nation back into world history for a reason. Now let's start our first subject here, the scattering of Israel in Bible prophecy. You know, saints, God supernaturally scattered Israel. And we're going to see from the scriptures that God prophesied that if they wouldn't do certain things, something was going to happen. And you got to know something, saints. When God tell you that he would scatter you, you got to understand that God has the ability to scatter you. You got to understand, if God tell you he's going to do something, you better listen to him. Because we're going to see this morning that God has scattered the nation of Israel prophetically all over the world as a result of some things. So I want to give some scriptures. First of all, we're going to start off here. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 2. Very familiar passage here. The Savior, he was talking to his disciples in reference to the signs of the times. And one of the first things he gave his disciples in verse 2 of Matthew 24. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now Jesus prophesied to his Jewish brethren that there's coming a day that this grand old temple that you're looking at is going to come down. The disciples, they were troubled by that. "Lord, when should these things be? And what should be the sign of thy coming?" Jesus went on to say in the Gospel of Luke, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Jesus literally prophesied that there's coming a day that the nation of Israel would be scattered. And we know this happened 70 AD, King Titus, the Roman general came in and he literally judged Israel. God used him to judge the nation of Israel and they were scattered. But I want to give you another scripture as I go a little further. I want to quote, first of all, Lewis Huff. Lewis Huff, in his book called Israel on Prophecy, listen to what he says about the scattering. He says, "The history of the Jews since 70 AD has been one of suffering and persecution." He said, did they not bring this upon themselves when they rejected Jesus as their Messiah? They cried in Matthew 27:5, "Let him be crucified, and his blood be on us and our children." Through the centuries, they have paid the price of their rejection. But you know what I'm saying? These were prophecies that were written aforetime. God warned them that if they wouldn't honor God, that things would happen. I want to give you another verse, because it has happened as it was prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, a lot of times you hear messages on Deuteronomy 28. We only hear the blessings of Deuteronomy, but you never hear the curses of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28 is a powerful, powerful chapter in reference. And here, listen what God told Israel that he would do to them if they turned against him. He said, "Thou shalt become," this is verse 64, "and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations, whether thou shalt be led," "among all the nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people." Listen at this. "From one end of the earth even unto the other. And among these nations shall thou find no ease. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind." Listen, saints. God said that if they wouldn't obey him, that he would scatter them throughout the world. And as I said, saying, as whatever God tell you he's going to do, he is a master at doing it. We're going to see this morning that, saints, God scattered the Jews all over the world. He scattered Israel in the nooks and crannies of the world. Just as he prophesied, God will honor his word if we choose to disobey him. I want to give you another one here in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 32 through 34. Look at verse 32. God says, "And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies shall dwell therein and shall be astonished at it." God says that when he scattered Israel, he said the land of Israel would become desolate. And guess what, saints? Exactly as God prophesied, it happened to the land of Israel. And what's amazing about verse 32, the Bible says, even when Israel's enemies would occupy the land, when Israel was dispersed, he said the land, they would be astonished that the land would lie desolate. You know, this land is blessed when Israel is back in the land. And we're going to see here, this was a powerful, amazing judgment of God. Look at verse 33. He says, "And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and the cities waste. This is exactly what God did. Verse 34. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate. And ye shall be in your enemy's lands. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. God was amazing when he judged the nation of Israel. He did exactly what he said he would do. If you disobey me, I'm going to scatter you to the worlds. And this is exactly what he did. But you know something? I'm so grateful, saints, that we have a merciful God. We have a merciful God because God loves Israel. Listen, don't believe those teachers who teach today that God is through with Israel. Don't believe those people who teach that the church has replaced Israel. Don't believe that lie. There are many, many prophecies. Many, many prophecies on the house of Israel. You know, saints, if God doesn't complete what he said he's going to do to Israel, we might as well get rid of our Bible. We're going to see Israel has a powerful future that's been recorded in the scripture. But God told them, you disobey me, I'm going to scatter you. And he did exactly that. Now the word of God also talks about the birthing. We see he scattered them based on the scriptures. Now we're going to see the birth of the nation of Israel in the last days. As God scattered them based on scripture, he's going to also bring them back based on scripture. I want to give you a verse here, two verses here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. The scripture says that there's going to come a time in prophecy, in the future, that God was going to set his hand a second time to regather Israel. Now, we just seen he was scattered them. He did that. But then he said, there's coming a time I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to regather them. I'm going to bring them back into the land. Verse 12, and he shall set an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah. Listen at this, from the four corners of the world. Listen, saints, God scattered them in the four corners of the world. And Father God's going to go to the four corners of the world to bring them back. You know, saints, we are living in amazing times. You know, when I watch the news and I hear the news commentator say, the nation of Israel, I begin to praise God. I say, God, you said that they were coming back. And now the news commentator is prophesying and don't even realize it. Every time they mention Israel by its biblical name, they are giving glory and testimony to the God of heaven. Yes, it's a sign of the time. God said, I'm going to bring them back. God said, I scattered them in the four corners of the world. I'm going to bring them back in the last days. Man, I'm so excited. On May 14, 1948, David Ben-Gurion read the Israeli Declaration of Independence at a small museum in Tel Aviv, Israel, before an audience of 200 people. A new nation was born to the world. Israel became, Israel came back into world history. You know what's amazing about this, saints? National Geographic had to change its maps after 1948. They had to change the maps because God brought this little country back into world history. You know, I was on an interview on a radio program. Had a guy called in, and this gentleman had a problem with Israel. He said God was through with Israel in 70 AD. And I said, well, sir, I do understand the teaching that you have, but you have one major problem. And the problem is this. We have Israel as a nation. Israel has come back into world history. There's a problem. It's amazing to say that God is through with Israel when God has brought him back. It looks to me, saints, that God has a future for this little land. And I'm so excited that we're going to be a part of it. Now, let's go a little further in our study. Now, let's look at some scriptures related to the regathering of the Jews to the land. God scattered them. God said, I'm going to regather them. Now we're going to see scripturally where it says he's going to bring them back to the land. He's going to regather them back to the land. I want to give you a verse, and I love this. Look at this. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 and 8. Look at verse 7. He says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. The scripture says that there's coming a day that the people of Israel will no longer say, hey, this is the God of heaven who brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We're going to see something very powerful here, because we're going to see that God is going to equate the latter day restoration of the Jews to the land to the miracle of them coming out of Egypt. You know, they were commanded of God to rehearse the miracles and the testimonies to their children of the hand of God. Well, the scripture said there's coming a day where they will no longer say, God is the God who delivered us from Egypt. But they will say this, verse 8, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whether I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. What a miracle, saints. God says, just like I delivered Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, I did a miracle to bring Israel out of Egypt. God says, in the latter days, I'm going to do another miracle, and I'm going to regather them back to the land. I'm going to bring them from the four corners of the world where I have scattered them. I'm going to bring Israel, bring the Jews back to the land. Now, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to give you a number of verses. I won't read all of them. I'm going to just kind of paraphrase different things. But these are some good verses for your notes. And these are regathering verses of the Jew. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 10, 11, 24, and 28. In Ezekiel 36, it talks about God said that he would multiply men upon the land of Israel. And when Israel became a nation in 1948, you know, there were Jews that were migrating back. But at this point today, there are over 5.5 million Jews in the land of Israel. There are more Jews today in the nation of Israel than there are Jews in the United States. That is truly a miracle. Because there were many, many Jews that actually lived in Israel, and now they are migrating back. You hear stories of Israelis saying, I don't know what it is, but I feel called to go back to the land. Now, what's so significant and great about this, saints, is the fact that many of them are going back to a region that is in war. They're leaving comfortable USA to go back to a land that's in a state of war. Yeah, they're going back to fulfill prophecy. Here's another one, Ezekiel 28, verse 25. God says here that he would gather the house of Israel. Here's another one, Jeremiah 23, verse 3. He said that he would gather the remnant of his flock. Here's another one, Jeremiah 32, verses 37 and 38. He said that he would gather them out of all countries. You know, saints, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, I got four testimonies here. Let me give you another one. Look at this. Ezekiel 37, 22, 21. God said that he would bring them into their own land. This is the regathering. He's bringing them back. I'm going to bring them into their own land. Jeremiah 24, verse 5 and 6. He says, I will bring them again to this land. It's significant, saints. God is bringing them back to a geographical location. I'm going to bring them back to this land of Israel. It's significant to God. The last one here, Isaiah 43, 5 and 6. He says he would bring them from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. This is significant, saints. Why would God give us all these verses of him bringing them back to the land if it was not significant to the heart of God? Let me tell you something. God has a plan for the house of Israel. We're going to see again as we go further here that God is really up to something. And it is an amazing thing. You know, I get a question all the time. Brother Perkins, what is the greatest sign you think as a sign of the time in the last days? First thing I say, the nation of Israel. Then I get a question, well, Brother Perkins, how do you know that Bible you read is true? I said, well, one way I know is Bible prophecy. And one of those prophecies is the nation of Israel. God spoke many things about that land, and now we have Israel in front of our eyes today. Yeah, it proves the validity of the scriptures. We read prophecies that are centuries old that are literally coming to pass in our times. You know, when God called me to teach Bible prophecy, it's an amazing thing. When God called me to teach Bible prophecy, not only did he put a desire and an insatiable heart to study Bible prophecy, but God put a love in my heart for Israel. I wear a ring here that has a bunch of Star Davids on it. And I see this ring all the time, and it reminds me to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I think about it, I say, wow, God, this is amazing. I'm a black man, and I love Israel. That's not a color thing, but I got to tell you something, saints. It amazed even Brother Perkins of my love for that little land. God placed them in my heart. The scripture, the word of God, deposited them in my heart. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let me tell you something. We are witnessing an amazing prophecy of this little land. Now, I want to show you this picture. This is an amazing picture here. This is a picture of some Jews that were regathered to the land. These are Ethiopian Jews. They're called Falashish Jews. This particular article says, black Jews in Ethiopia. Thousands have fled the country to escape famine and oppression to fulfill prophecy to a better country. Let me read this story for you. The last decade has witnessed the Aliyah, or the return of the ancient Jewish community of Ethiopia. In 1984, some 7,000 Ethiopian Jews walked hundreds of miles to Sudan, where a secret effort known as Operation Moses brought them to Israel. Another 15,000 arrived in a dramatic airlift called Operation Solomon on May 1991. Within 30 hours, 41 flights from Ethiopia carried almost all remaining community to Israel, the Ethiopian Jews. Now, I got to be honest with you, saints. When I found out they were black Jews, I said, there is a God. Listen, God said he scattered them. It's amazing what he did. I went to Israel. I told my tour guide, I said, listen, when you see an Ethiopian Jew, I said, you point him out to Brother Perkins. We were driving in Israel. He said, Brother Perkins, look. And I looked over. I said, look at Bible prophecy. Walking Bible prophecy. I said, listen, this is a sign of the time. Walking in the streets of Israel. God has brought them back. He said he's going to do it. God has done it. One reason why I believe God is regathering the people to the land. God is getting them ready for the next dispensation to come in. This is why I believe it's close. I believe the rapture for the church is even closer. All the signs of the times point to the second coming or the literal return of Christ. None of them point to the rapture. If we are seeing signs like Israel that point to the second coming of Christ, then how close, my friend, is the rapture of the church? It's close. I believe it's close. I'm ready. I believe it's close. But we are witnessing some amazing things with this little land called Israel. Here's another picture here. They gutted out a 747, and they loaded up the Ethiopian Jews to go back to Israel. This was some of their first times ever flying on a plane. Another significant thing about this, this particular flight, it literally made the Guinness Book of Records. These are Ethiopian Jews going back to their land, the land of Israel. God said, I'm going to bring them back. And God did. God said, I'm going to bring them back. And he did. Now, let's look at the restoration of the land. I'm going to give you some verses about the restoration of the land. God not only brought them back, but God also began to work on the land of Israel. Look at this prophecy. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 34 through 36. He says, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lie desolate in the sight of all that pass by. You know, when God judged Israel and the land became desolate, it was truly desolate. You know, tumbleweeds going through the country, swamps and all kinds of things. But when God brought them back, God began to touch the land. He began to bless the land. Look at verse 35. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and the desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. This is amazing prophecy, saints. I went to Israel. I told my tour guide, I said, I want to see this. I studied. I want to see this. It was amazing what I saw. I mean, waste cities, Ascalon, Ashdod, these cities that no longer exist, now exist again in the nation of Israel. God said, those cities that were desolate, when I bring them back, I'm going to restore the cities. And again, this is just a beginning of what God's going to do as we go into the future. They'll experience the full blessing of this when we go into the millennial kingdom. But let me tell you something, we're seeing the beginnings of what God is doing. Look at verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and God says, and I will do it. Listen, saints, whatever God says he's going to do, you can bank on it. You can put your eternal life on it. I'm excited, man, because as I see God do what he said he's going to do to Israel, I know everything God promised Brother Perkins is going to come to pass. I said, God, do it. Bless them. Do whatever you got to do to Israel, because God, you promised me some things. And God, you're going to do exactly what you said to Brother Perkins. Now, let me give you some verses like I did earlier. These are restoration verses of the land. This first one is Ezekiel 36, verses 8 and 30. He says here that the land, when he bring them back, the land would literally yield fruit to my people. God said, I'm going to cause the land to bless you, Israel. Israel now, they're planting trees and groves and food is growing everywhere. But let me give you another verse. I like this next verse. Isaiah 27, verse 6. Listen to what it says. Israel shall blossom and bud. The latter part of that verse says, and fill the world with fruit. What an amazing prophecy. I went to Israel. I took pictures. I took over 600 slides of stuff growing everywhere in the desert, around the Dead Sea. I mean, it's amazing to see things growing all over the land. But when I came home, what amazed me, I went to my local grocery store. I went to the fruit section, and guess what I found? Jaffa oranges. The Lord said, remember the scripture? Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Man, I said, God, look at this. It's a fulfillment of your prophecy. God said, I'm going to bring them back and I'm going to bless them. I got one article that said that Israel is the third largest citrus producing nation in the world. Israel. God brought them back and he blessed the land. Israel supplied Europe with flowers. When Israel left the Gaza Strip, they left a thriving florist business. They left it to the Palestinians in Gaza. Thriving flower business. God has blessed this land. Look at this next verse. Ezekiel 36, verse 10 and 11. God says, I will settle you after your old estates. I'm going to settle you after your old estates. Again, that's why whenever I hear the news say the nation of Israel, it just blessed my heart because it's fulfilling prophecy. Jeremiah 31, verse 27 and 28. God says, I will watch over you to build and to plant. The hand of God is on this little land. God is watching them as they fulfill his word. Isaiah 51, verse 3, he says, her wilderness shall become like Eden. It's going to be a prosperous region. And again, it's going to continue to be blessed as we go into the millennium. Amos chapter 9, I want to read this verse for you. Amos 9, verses 13 through 15, amazing prophecy. I want to read this prophecy for you. I love this prophecy. Amos 9, verses 13 through 15. I'm reading here from the King James. Listen to what the prophet Amos wrote. He says, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, And the mountains shall drop with sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, said the Lord thy God. God says, I'm going to bring them back to the land. The land's going to begin to produce for them. And I got to tell you something, saints, as God said, he has done it. As God said, he has produced these things. The last verse here, Ezekiel 30, 28, verse 26. He says that they shall build houses and they shall plant vineyards. Now, you got to understand, saints, I mean, before 1948, you know, it was a different situation for the house of Israel. God is bringing them back in the last days in preparation for the next dispensation. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, it talks about the 144,000 Jews in the tribulation. I believe God is bringing back them, bringing the house of Israel back to the land in preparation for the next dispensation. They're coming back to the land. God is bringing he's bringing all the tribes back into the land for that next set of judgments to come into the land. And again, it's an amazing prophecy. Now, let's look at Israel's preparation for the Great Tribulation period. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to deal with two aspects of what's happening there. First, I want to look at the peace thing. And again, I'll bring you back to the chart here. We're in the church dispensation as we're taken up and we go into the tribulation, but as the church is raptured and the tribulation begins, Israel will go under a major season of test and trial. God's going to allow them to go under this heavy persecution. But as a result of what they would go through, it's going to yield a peaceable fruit of the house of Israel to God. The Bible says in the tribulation that it's going to, when the 144,000 come on the scene, they would be the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb out of the house of Israel. God have not forgotten his people Israel. Let's go a little further. I want to deal with the peace thing. There's no peace in the Middle East. Now, you know something? I talk to people many times, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, there's no peace in Israel. But guess what? That no peace in Israel is by God's design. Yeah, God has his hand on that. There will be no peace in that region. Many of us know this verse here, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Because there is no peace, it letting us know that the region is being prepared for the coming of the Lord. Look at this, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. He said, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about them, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." Verse 3, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it," listen at this, "shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." This no peace in the land of Israel is by God's design. Listen, saints, God said in the latter days Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling to the world. That's why it's unstable. God said it won't be any peace there. The only time Israel is going to experience a lasting peace is when the Prince of Peace is seated on the throne. Outside of that, there will be no peace in that region. You got to understand that. You got to understand there will be no peace. God says it's a cup of trembling. You can't stabilize this cup. And what's amazing, God even gives a judgment. He said, those that care to burden themselves. In other words, those of us who try to stabilize Israel, or those of us who try to bring peace to that region, God says, I'm going to cut you in pieces. Let me tell you something, saints. America needs to get out of the peace business. We need to get out of the peace business. I want to show you something, saints. What we have had in all these episodes of our attempt to bring peace in Israel, the only thing we've created was a photo op. All we have done is had a photo op. Listen. Every president think that he has an answer to stabilize that region. Listen, he's touching a cup that is unstable by God's design. God says, I'm not going to let one man have that glory other than my son, Jesus Christ. Jesus will be the only one that will get that glory. You got to understand, saints. Now, the Bible commands that we, the church, we, the saints, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And you know, saints, when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, when we pray for them, God's going to bless us. But I want to show you something. When we get involved in God's dealings, we always mess up. And I want to show you this. As a matter of fact, in 2005, in August 2005, the United States literally pressured Israel to give up the Gaza Strip. When I saw that on the news, saints, let me tell you something. My heart was so grieved. I began to cry. I said, oh, God, what's going to happen to America? I began to pray. I began to weep in my soul. I said, God, we're not supposed to do that. We put Jew against Jew. We put the Jewish army had to go in and bring out the Jewish brothers out of Gaza. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to do that. And we pressured them. We pressured them to give up the land for peace. It don't work. It don't work. As I share, saints, the only time Israel is going to have peace is when the Messiah sits on that throne. We need to get out of the peace business. And I really believe, now this is something I'm going to say this, and many people don't like me to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I believe as a result of us pressuring Israel to get out of Gaza, we experienced Katrina. I really believe that. I really believe that. I believe that. The Jew became a refugee in his own land. And as a matter of fact, saints, a few months ago, we had this recent war in Israel. Think about it. Israel had to go into Gaza to defend themselves. This is their land. They went into Gaza to defend themselves. It would have never happened had not we pressured them to give up the land. Well, we didn't hear on the news that there were over 3,000 rockets that literally went into Israel before Israel had this great offense. And really, it wasn't an offense; it was a defense. Israel had to stop them, and then Israel went in, you know, to clean the clocks a little bit, you know. Which I said, go get them, do what you got to do. I mean, we here in America, we wouldn't allow it. We got missiles coming in from outside neighbors, partner. We would not allow it. No, we wouldn't. But this world is judging and blaming Israel for defending themselves. America needs to get out of the peace business. We need to get out. The Middle East problem was prophesied in the scriptures centuries ago. It was in the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible talks about it. I want to give you a verse here. The book of Genesis, chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. And in this account, let's go there. The book of Genesis, chapter 25. And again, this was in the scriptures. The Bible talked about this. Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 23. We're starting in verse 21. It says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of her, of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." Now, her husband, he went to the Lord in concerns for his wife being barren. God graced her womb to conceive. She conceived twins. We know the story. She conceived twins. And there was a struggle going on inside of her. God, what is going on? Man, these little rascals, they jumping around. What is going on? She went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23, I want to bring it up on the screen. It's a powerful verse. Because listen to what he said. "And the Lord said to her," it's amazing. He says, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." You know, many scholars believe that that Esau, his descendants, are the Palestinians. And God told them, he said, listen, he said, you have two nations warring inside of you. Two nations. Listen, saints, this war started back in the womb. You got to understand, this thing is amazing. God said, there'll be no peace in that region until the Messiah sits on it. Isaiah 9 says that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will sit on the throne of his father David. Listen, the Prince of Peace is going to sit on the throne. When the Prince of Peace sits on the throne, then there will be a lasting peace. But again, this is not an accident. This whole region is in turmoil because the Word of God said it would be in the last day. This one, I'm telling you, it's a sign of the time. It's an indicator. You know, for many people in the world, the nation of Israel is like a toothache. And they want America and the nations of the world to give them a root canal. But it's not going to work. Because God has his hand on them. One of my favorite verses in the scriptures, Psalms 122, verse 6, it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee." You want to prosper? Pray for Israel. You want to prosper? Pray for Israel. Bible says, "They shall prosper that love thee." You know, this is one little country, one little piece of real estate that God has next to his heart. Israel is God's heartbeat. He loved this little region. Well, guess what? Since Father God loves it, Brother Perkin loves it as well. I do. I love what God loves. You better believe it. Now, let's look at the third temple in Israel's future. The scripture prophesied that there will be a third temple. Grant Jeffrey, in his wonderful book, I encourage you to pick it up. It's called the New Temple and the Second Coming of Christ. Listen to what he says. He says, virtually all prophecy teachers agree that the preconditions for the rebuilding of the temple and the return of Jesus Christ, together with the current religious developments in Israel, are setting the stage for the new temple. For the last 3 decades, the Temple Institute, a small but very dedicated group of Orthodox rabbis, have been working quietly in the old city of Jerusalem to train Levite priests and to create and to recreate the ancient temple worship vessels and music instruments. These are essential for authentic worship in the new sanctuary. Now, the scripture literally prophesied that there will be another temple. And I'm going to give you a verse on that to show proof. But there are some things that are going on behind the scene. God is restoring the land. He's restoring the people. This is a picture here. This is an artist's rendition here of the next temple. They want the temple there on the Temple Mount. If you see there, they don't have the Dome of the Rock there anymore. This is their heart. They want to put a temple there. But what's happening behind the scenes in Israel right now, on January 20, 2005, the modern-day Sanhedrin court was reinstituted. This court, consisting of 71 of the most devout rabbis in Israel. For 2,500 years, they did not have the Sanhedrin court, but now they do. And on top of that, the Israeli government is now letting them hear cases, which also proves the validity of the Sanhedrin. These will be the men who I believe that will ordain the next high priest. Also in Israel, the Temple Institute have created over 100 sacred temple vessels for use in worship and temple service. Now, these are things that are going on behind the scenes. Things are being prepared for this next temple, this third temple. They have recreated many of the priestly garments for use by the high priest and the under priest. And I'll tell you, one of the major things they've done just recent is created the high priest's crown. In the Old Testament, it's called the mitre. It's the crown. It's the holiness of the Lord. And the high priest only wears that mitre. They just created that mitre. They spent, I think it was over $30,000 to create just that crown. These people are serious about restoring the temple. Number four, they're training Levitical priests in the ancient rite of animal sacrificing for temple worship and ceremony. They train these young boys in animal sacrifice. You know, as a whole, Israel does not honor or recognize Jesus as their Messiah. So therefore, there's a coming season where, again, they're going to reinstitute the temple worship, temple sacrificing. They believe that they need to do that in order to have salvation. But again, it's a setup for the end times. So things are happening in that region behind the scene as restoration, the restoration service, worship service of Israel in the latter days. Now, I want to give you a verse here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This verse here talks about the Antichrist during the time of the tribulation. And listen what it says here. Verse 4, it says, who opposes, talking about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, the Antichrist, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is a prophecy for the future during the time of the tribulation. It literally talks about the Antichrist going into the temple, and I believe it's going to be that revised third temple that the Jews are planning on building. He's going to literally go in that temple, and he's going to sit there as God. And what's tragic, many will worship him as God until he desecrate the Jewish altars. Daniel 9:27 says this, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. The overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. The Antichrist is going to make it desolate. But the temple has to be there, and now they are restoring. And I can't touch all the things regarding that. I mean, there's so many things. I call these ambiguous signs. These are signs behind the scenes, but they're preparation nonetheless of what God is allowing to take place in that land. Now, let's look at Israel's salvation in Bible prophecy. See, all of this, everything God is doing, everything God is allowing them to do is for a main reason. God wants them. Father God is going after them. Paul said this in the book of Romans chapter 10. I would encourage you to read verses 1 through 6. But verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, that's why it really breaks my heart when I hear Christian brethren say that God is through with Israel. Listen, but for the grace of God, that could have been us. Man, I want God to extend mercy to whoever he wants to extend mercy to. I wouldn't be a born-again Christian today had not God had patience with me. Many of you heard me say many times, Brother Perkins, I enjoyed sin. I was out there in the world. I loved it. I loved sin. I had fun in sin until God got in my business. God gave me a wake-up call. God said, son, you need to come out of that lifestyle. Listen, I wasn't even thinking about God. But God had mercy on this little preacher. And he began to knock on my door and began to convict me of sin. And I realized I needed him. Man, but for the mercies of God. Well, God has not forgotten Israel. God has a heart for them. And again, we're going to see it. Now, look at this. Let me give you some verses here. Israel's salvation has been prophesied. Romans 11 and 1 and 2 says this. God have not cast away his people. That's New Testament saints. He has not cast away his people. Romans 11 verse 7 through 12. The Bible says their fall became the riches of the Gentiles. In other words, because of their fall, we became, God opened up a door to allow us to come into the fold. He said, well, if we got blessed because of that, how much more their fullness? How much more shall the world be blessed when God restore Israel in the latter days? Yeah, God has a plan for them. Look at this one, Romans 11, verse 26 and 27. The Bible says here, all Israel shall be saved. All of Israel shall be saved. Yes, says God got a plan. He's going to save the Jew. Hebrews 8, verses 13 through 8 through 13, he says, a new covenant with Israel and Judah. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. God says, I'm going to write the law on the tables at heart. God says, I'm going to clean up Israel's sin. Listen, saints, God has a heart for them, and God's going to restore them. And everything he's doing is bringing them to that point where they're going to acknowledge that they need the Savior. I'm almost done. Let's look at this last part. Israel meets her Messiah as Lord and King. I love this. Look at this picture. Look at this picture, saints. I love this. Israel going to meet her Messiah as Israel go through the season of great tribulation. As she go through her time of testing, she's going to realize she received a false Messiah. But then Israel is going to cry out for the true Messiah. And guess what? Jesus is going to come back from heaven. The Bible says he come back from heaven, Revelation 19, upon his white charger. And we, the saints who were raptured with him as the glorified, will come back with Christ. And he's coming back upon those white chargers. Hallelujah. He's coming back and we're coming back with him. He's coming back to dethrone the Antichrist. He's coming back to judge the Antichrist. And guess what? We're coming back with him. Look at this. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6. The Bible says here, they will see the wounds in his hand. They said, where did you see those wounds? He said, I received them in the house of my friends. He's going to let them know, yeah, I received this wound in the house of my friend. They're going to realize you were our brother. Zechariah 14:3, the Bible says, at this time the Lord shall fight against those nations. God is Jesus come back in the second coming to deliver Israel. He's coming to judge the Antichrist and his forces. Revelation 1, verse 7 says, the earth shall wail because of his return. Listen, saints, when Christ come back in the second coming, he's coming back as judge. And he's going to judge the world. He's going to judge the world for their sins, but he's also going to judge the world for their hatred of Israel. He's going to judge them. It's coming. And the last verse, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 21. The Bible says here, in righteousness, he will make war. Jesus is coming back to deliver Israel in the tribulation. And I'm so excited that we, the saints, are going to be with Christ. Coming back with him. Now, he's coming back to judge Antichrist, and then he's going to take all of us, the church and Israel, into the season of the millennial kingdom. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome time. And this is what Brother Perkins is looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being part of that kingdom. You know, I am. The Bible said we're going to rule and reign with Christ. I'm looking forward to being in that kingdom with my Lord. I don't know where the Lord's going to dispatch Brother Perkins, but wherever he send me, I'm reporting for duty. It's going to be exciting, saints, and we will be a part of what God's going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to close with this again. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want you to bow your eyes. I'm going to close in prayer, okay? Father, we love you, and again, we thank you for this latter-day miracle of the nation of Israel. Lord, you are true to your word, and for that, Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that I'm living in a generation where I can witness, oh God, fulfillment of your word. Lord, today we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God the glory. Hallelujah.
This has been a production of According to Prophecy Ministries. If you would like more materials from According to Prophecy Ministries, you can write us at According to Prophecy Ministries, P.O. Box 6, Lemon Grove, California, 91946. Or you can visit us on the World Wide Web at www.according2prophecy.org.